And yeah, I should be on now. Great, great. It's quite a difference, isn't it? Yeah. Just going to try and calm down. That was a great worship time. Yeah, I just really feel like there are quite a few points today, but I feel like there will be something, hopefully, for every person here. So be listening to God, be hearing from him what he prompts you to, that stands out to you, and hopefully, well, God will move, God will speak, so it's good. So today we're carrying on our series in 1 Samuel. We're looking at chapter 9. It will come up on the screen behind me for you guys in a bit. Just to look at some big picture details before we get into the passage. So Samuel is the last of Israel's judges. He's been a godly, just leader, but as we heard last week from Jonathan, his sons aren't following in his ways, and the Israelites have asked for a king. And in this chapter that we're looking at today, we're introduced to this guy called Saul, and he is going to be the first king of Israel. And interestingly, Saul's name means asked for, which is quite funny in that, like, did God plan his name before in advance, knowing that he was going to be this king that God was going to choose, or was it an accident? I just find it quite interesting that his name was asked for and the Israelites had asked for a king. And in this preach today, I want us to take a closer look at how God spoke to and led Samuel and Saul. So I'm reading from ESV 1 Samuel 9. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Becherath, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to Saul, "Take one of the young men with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys." And he passed through the country of Ephraim, passed through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. They passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. And they passed through the land of Benjamin, but did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us go back, lest my father cease to care about the donkeys and become anxious about us." But he said to him, "Behold, there is a man of God in this city, and he is a man who is held in honor. All that he says comes true. So now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go." Then Saul said to his servant, "But if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there's no present to bring the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again, "Here, I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, 'Come, let us go to the seer.' For today's prophet was formerly called a seer." And Saul said to his servant, "Well said. Come, let's go." So they went up to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the city, they met young women coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered, "He is. Behold, he is just ahead of you. Hurry. He has come just now to the city because the people have a sacrifice today in the high place. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now go up, for you are to meet him immediately." So they went up to the city. As they were entering the city, they saw Samuel coming out towards them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people." Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, where is the house of the seer?" Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, that were lost 3 days ago. Do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's house? Saul answered, Am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why have you spoken to me in this way? Then Samuel took Saul and his young men and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of the table of those who have been invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, Bring the portion I gave you, of which I said to you, put it aside. So the cook took up the leg and what was on it and set them before Saul. And Samuel said, See, what was kept is set before you. Eat, because it was kept for you until the hour appointed, that you might eat with the guests. So Saul ate with Samuel that day, and when they came down from the high place into the city, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul on the roof, Up, that I may send you on your way. So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Tell the servant to pass on before us, and when he has passed, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God. So that's the passage today. And I want to talk about, how God led Saul and Samuel and how he spoke to them. So first off, to start with Saul. Saul was just living an ordinary life. We read that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. So if you look back at Genesis, you get the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers, and Benjamin was the youngest of the brothers. And from this tribe of Benjamin that descended, it was one of the smaller tribes because of a battle that had happened at the end of Judges. But out of this small group of people, God picks Saul. And we read that he was handsome and tall, was head and shoulders above everyone else. And actually, people would have looked up to him. He would have made a good first impression, and they would have been like, oh, this is a guy that we want to lead, that we want to lead us, and we'll follow him. And at the start of these verses, it's like an ordinary, maybe frustrating day for Saul. The donkeys have gone missing, and donkeys in that time would have been used for farm work, for travel, so they're quite important to the family. So they go out, Saul and a servant go out looking for them. They search for 3 days, which feels like quite a long time to search for some donkeys, and they go through the lands of Ephraim, Shalisha, Shalim, and Benjamin, and they can come to the land of Zuph. And at this point, Saul is like, let's go home. Like, we've searched for 3 days, we're not going to find these donkeys, let's go back. But his servant says that they should go and ask the prophet. So they're out looking for donkeys, and now they're going to meet the man of God. I think meeting the prophet can feel a bit weird to us now, because we all have a relationship with God that if something goes missing, we can pray, God, show me where this thing is, and sometimes he'll show us where it is. But actually, in this time, Samuel was the intermediary between the people and God. They had to go to Samuel to hear from God. So they're out looking for the donkeys, and now they're going to meet the man of God. And I love that God knew the timing of this meeting, that he, even the day before, like, told Samuel that Saul was coming. Like, it's perfect timing. It's just really good. When we start to think sometimes about the choices that we make and how God works in them, it can get a bit confusing. So they're out looking for the donkeys, but God wanted them to come to Zuph to meet with God. And how does that work? What of our choices in our lives are our choices? What of them are God working in our lives? It's one of those mysteries that you can try and work it out and think through, that was me or that was God, but actually I think it's one of those mysteries that we'll find out when we get to heaven, which I'm okay with most of the time. But what I do want to say is that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, God uses them. God promises to turn our circumstances for good, and he uses the place that we're in to draw us to him. It might not feel good all the time, that God promises to work our circumstances for good. I love the similarities that we see in this passage of what happened when Saul met Samuel and what has happened for us in Jesus. So we have been seen in the crowd of people. We have been chosen and God has drawn us to himself. We have found what we're seeking. In Jesus, we have everything that we could ever need. Every desire is satisfied in Jesus. Every blessing is given to us. Every need is met. I also love that we're given a seat of honor at the table. The food that Saul ate was a portion that had been set aside for him. It was the leg portion, it says in this passage. And in Leviticus 7, it says that the right leg was given to the priest. Only holy people could eat this portion of meat. The meal that we have been given is communion. But it's the fact that we don't have to be holy to come and take communion. We are made holy because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's like a gift of grace to us that we get to come and take this meal and be reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. And at the end of this passage, it says in verse 27, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to pass on before us, and when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God." God wants to speak to us, to reveal to us his plans, and if we will just wait and stop and be with him, he will speak to us. What a blessing it is that we don't have to go to some mediator now. We get a relationship with God firsthand that we just get to stop and be with him, and he will speak to us. How amazing is that? So God is leading us, and God leads those around us. So God led Saul, and God does the same with us today. In our ordinary, frustrating days, in our setbacks, he leads us to where he wants us to be in his perfect timing. He leads us to change jobs, to move towns or countries, for work, for church, for family, for mission. He leads us to move physically, but he also leads us to move what I've put as like emotionally and mentally closer to him. He speaks to us in our circumstances. He teaches us more about himself and his character and who he is and how much he loves us. And he helps us to take our trust off the things around us and put them back on him. But we need to have ears open to hear his voice, to hear him leading, to have our eyes open to see him. That then makes it easier for us to follow his leading. So how has God been leading you recently? Have you got stories in this week of how God has said something to you, or God has been directing you, or God has been teaching you about himself? It's really good to have those stories every week. So we know that God is leading us, but God is also leading those around us. From the fact that Saul's servant was the one that suggested that they go to Samuel, it doesn't seem to me like Saul was thinking of God all that much. He didn't seemingly know that Samuel was at this city, didn't know that there was a man of God here. But the servant was the one that directed him to go and see Saul, to see Samuel. I knew I'd get those names confused at some point in this preach, too close together. But if you're a Christian here today, we each have a testimony of how we came to know God. Now, for me, I grew up in a family home that were Christian, so I've always known a bit about God, but there was a point in my life where I gave my life to him, and then since then it has been going deeper in my faith with him and my knowledge of him. But for others of us, we didn't have the upbringing. We were living our lives, going about doing things, and then one day something happened. Someone spoke to us, maybe about God, invited us to an Alpha course, or it's a slow process of different people dropping things in at different points. But God has drawn you to himself. And I believe that God really spoke to me in this, that God wants to draw the people in our lives around us. God wants to draw them to himself. We've spoken in this church before about people of peace and how there are people that God is already drawing in, that you sort of can have a conversation with, and they're not hostile. They're a bit intrigued. They want to know more. They're asking questions. And they may be people that God is already sort of pulling in, drawing in. And we get to play our part in speaking to them and sharing our faith and sharing our testimony. And how amazing is it that we get to do that? So I want to pray later on that if God is putting in your mind someone that he wants you to reach out to, that we can just pray for them later on and pray for you, that you would have the courage to go and speak to them about your faith. So, moving on to Samuel. Samuel had spent his whole life devoted to God. Like, Hannah had had her son. He had taken him to the temple at the age of 3. And Samuel had been serving God. He was Israel's judge, priest, and prophet. And he walked closely with God and he heard God's voice. He led the Israelites with wisdom and justice. And last week, Jonathan preached on this passage in chapter 8 of Israel asking for a king. In verses 19 to 20, it says, "But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'No, but we shall have a king over us, that he may be like all the nations, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" Samuel had been their judge. In the chapter before, in chapter 7, we read that the Israelites were gathered at Mizpah and the Philistines had gathered to attack. Samuel had offered a burnt sacrifice. He'd cried out to God to save them, and God did. The Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder. The Philistines were thrown into confusion and they were defeated by the Israelites. And chapter 7 says, "So the Philistines were subdued, did not enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hands of the Philistines. There was also peace. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites." So all this had happened. The Israelites are asking for a king who will be judge and who will lead them into the battles, but they're not realizing that God has done this all along through Samuel. So I don't know how you'd feel about hearing this from the people that you're leading, but I think some things like disappointed, rejected, quite annoyed and upset would probably be quite realistic feelings of hearing that. But what I love about Samuel is that he doesn't stay in that place of upset. We heard last week that he prayed to God in that moment, asked, "God, what do you think about this?" And then he listened and he obeyed. So Samuel had a life of listening to God. Samuel knew the voice of God throughout his life since he was a child. God had revealed his plans to him. Even in this passage that we've looked at today, God had revealed that Saul was coming and he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He said to Samuel, "That's the man that you're going to anoint as king." He'd even revealed to Samuel where the donkeys had been for 3 days. Like, Samuel knew God's voice. He knew him speaking. He knew what God was saying. Samuel also had a life of obeying God. When the Israelites were asking for a king, Samuel asked God, he heard from God, and he obeyed God. He trusted God, even though things didn't look like his plan probably was of his sons taking over and being judges after him. It wasn't following what he thought it would follow. But he gave up his rights. He gave up his ability, his position as judge. And he laid down his plans that his son sons would follow after him. And he obeyed God. And in the story, he prepared the meal in advance. He set the food aside for Saul. He gave Saul the place of honor at the table in front of the guests. And next week we get to hear about how Samuel went on to anoint Saul as king. Feels quite amazing, really, to live a life that you're so trusting in God and obeying God that you will put aside things that you're holding on to be like, "No, I trust you and I will obey where you're leading." So Samuel also had a life of purpose. He had spent his whole life serving God. I find it really encouraging that Samuel didn't know the impact he'd had. He maybe knew it in terms of his life then and the impact he'd had on the Israelites. But his story is written in the Bible for us to listen to and read today and learn from today. He didn't know that that would be happening. Samuel, yeah, would have thought one of his sons would be judged next. But even though that wasn't the case, Samuel went on to anoint Saul. And then later we're going to hear he anointed King David. And from King David, we get Jesus. Samuel played his part in the plan of God's redemption. Through his obedience, through his listening to God, he played his part in God's plan. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life like Samuel. I think it's going to be hard, but I want to get there where I hear God's voice, that I know instantly that is God speaking, and that I trust him so completely that I just want to follow him straight away without thinking, oh, but that affects me. I want to just be obedient and follow him, and I want to have a life of purpose that, yeah, at the end of my life, some people might come to know God that didn't know him before. How amazing is it that we get to play our part in God's plan of redemption? So I want to create some space for us to respond. And as I was thinking about this last night, I was reminded of the experience of swimming in the sea. Don't know how many of you have done that, but you can be at the beach, you put your stuff down on the sand with someone watching it, you walk down to the beach and you get into the sea and you're swimming and you're having fun and you're not really paying attention, and then at some point you sort of look back to the coast and you're like, where's our stuff? You've sort of drifted. You've been like taken along with the currents, that you're further down the beach and you have to sort of like scan the beach and be like, where is our stuff? Where did we even come in? It all sorts to look the same. And I felt like God was saying that sometimes we can be like that in our lives. I felt like particularly it was pointed out, sometimes we can get really busy. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I've had quite a busy season of life recently. There's so much to do. You're just trying to get through the days, the weeks. You're just trying to get through work and just trying to get through. But life is so busy that sometimes you're not thinking about things. You're not spending as much time with God as probably you would before. You start to maybe doubt that you're hearing God's voice. You start to maybe feel a bit distant, and you start to look around and you're like, I've drifted and I didn't even know that I was. I was just living life and here I am and I didn't know how I got here. And if you're feeling that's for you today, I would love to gather and pray. And I want to say that if you're feeling condemnation about that, that isn't from God. God's Holy Spirit convicting us is like a gentle nudge, like, come back, I want to be with you, I want to spend time with you, I want you to come into my presence. That's the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling condemned, that isn't him, that's the enemy trying to attack our value. Our God loves to spend time with us. I love the words that were brought today, like, be dedicated to being with Jesus. I feel like God is just drawing us back to just be with him, to just spend our time with him so that we are filled up and overflowing and we get to take what we have in him and take it to our friends and our people around us. Yeah. So I'd love to encourage us to gather in groups of two or three and pray. Ask in your group what people would like prayer for. Maybe it's the drifting picture really spoke to you and you feel like you'd like some prayer for that. Maybe God has been speaking to you over this week about something and you'd like someone to just stand with you and pray that you've heard God and that you're following him, and just pray for that. Maybe God prompted you about a friend that you're thinking, actually, they're asking some questions about my faith. Maybe they're a person of peace that God is drawing in, and pray with people that you would have courage and boldness to go and speak to them. And maybe you want to pray that you would be able to be more like Samuel, that you would be able to listen and hear God's voice, know that it's him, that you'd be able to be obedient, and that you'd be able to have a life of purpose. So yeah. gather in groups, let's pray, and then we're going to finish with our final song. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your kindness. Lord, thank you that we get to call you our Father, that you're our God, that we get to have this relationship with you where we can hear your voice and where you lead us and you care and you love us. Lord, help each one of us to just take away what we've heard from you this morning. Help each one of us to hear your voice more and more clearly. Help each one of us to just dedicate more time to being with you. And for those of us who felt prompted to share our faith with a friend, Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and boldness and the words to say, that we would know that you're with us, walking with us. And Lord, that we would have some amazing testimonies in our church of people who just come to know you. Mm. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you're drawing us in. Just bless us, Lord. Amen.